Welcome to Project Cargo Weekly, and this is yet another great interview in store for you today. And our special guest of honor is Mr. Samir Fergwen, the Managing Director of UAL Chartering in Denmark. First of all, very much welcome here, Samir.
Thank you very much, Bo. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Same here, and as we just agreed before we started the recording, we never met, but now we finally meet, and then it's online, yeah? That's the life.
But that's how it goes.
That's how it is, yeah. Right, as you know from previous interviews, and which my viewers are now used to, I always start by letting the accused on the bench give a little explanation to his background, his or her background. And in your case, how did you end up where you are now, and how did you start into shipping in the first place, please?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. How I ended up here? Well, I started my career. I had a small stop at an agency in Copenhagen back in 2007, and quickly realized that I wanted to involve myself within the actual business of shipping. So I started in 2008 as a trainee with Scantrans.
Oh, yes.
And spent my 2 years at the wonderful office in Nesbitt, then I got the chance to move to Houston and continue my apprenticeship in Houston, where I spent a year. And after a year in Houston, I was lucky enough to be offered a role out with our Asia team in Malaysia, where I stayed for close to 3.5 years.
Okay.
Before heading back to Denmark. At the time, deciding, you know, I had my son, he was born in Malaysia, and you know, we decided that it was time to go back to Denmark. And then I had a quick stop at Nordana, at the project division, for a year and a half, before I just then ended up going back to what was formerly Scantrans, but ended up being Intermarine during the merger. I think that was in 2012. Intermarine merged with Scantrans at the time.
Correct. Yeah.
And then Intermarine became Seamarine while I was in Denmark. And as a lot of people already know, that ended dramatically here close to a year ago now. So after this whole Seamarine story, my partner and I, Morten Müller, who I actually got to know while we were working for Scantrans out in Malaysia, got in contact with UAL, and we jointly started this company called UAL Chartering, which is an agency to the Universal Africa Alliance with headquarters in Rotterdam.
Okay.
So that's a quick story about me and how I got involved in shipping.
Okay, that's a pretty fantastic background you have. I mean, you've certainly been outside the Beltway, and you've seen different continents around the world. I mean, that's also what I suppose we do enjoy and love with this kind of business, that is never boring, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do you feel now, let's say, kind of having relocated back to Denmark? Do you feel good to be back in Scandinavia?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, when you've been around the world, you do appreciate you know, the order that we have, but also to, you know, that we have some soft values here in Denmark, which I really appreciate. I mean, I always give people the example of you know, having the strollers here in Denmark. It's you know, when you go to a cafe or when you used to go to cafes, you could leave your stroller outside with your babies in it. I mean, and that's very, very unusual. You would never see that happen in the States, or you know, even south of the border in Denmark. I mean, so you know, these soft values is I think find them really important.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I used to spend many years in China, and you're right. There are some things that you you miss a lot when you are abroad. I especially missed rugbrød with spiepølse, and I cannot translate that for our English viewers here, but it's some kind of Danish dry food. But anyway, that's exactly, that's how it is. What I'd like to ask you a little bit about, tell me about the group UAL, Universal Africa Line. As the name implies, it means from any anywhere into Africa, doesn't it? Tell us about a little bit about the group. What do you do there?
Group, I mean, the shipping line has actually existed since, I might be wrong here, but if I remember correctly, since the early 70s, 1973, okay. I believe our CEO, Mr. Youngblood, he formed the company, and ever since it's developed into this and well-known liner service. So it's shipments every second week from Antwerp and Aberdeen down to West Africa.
Okay.
That has been going on for many years now, including the service we have from Houston into West Africa.
Okay.
And you can say that's the core business of UAL. That's been, the main business for many, many years. Right. Running this line of service, servicing mainly oil and gas clients into West Africa.
Okay.
And then on top of that, things have developed. UAL has their own office, their own agency down in Nigeria, and Nigeria is a very important market for UAL.
Yeah.
Of course, office in Houston as well, in the UK, and. Latest addition to the team, you could say, is Morten and myself here in Denmark for running an addition to the liner service. So you could say the UL chartering is an addition to what UL already has. So Morten and myself, we've been dealing with as former Seamarine with both continent shipments and Mediterranean shipments to West Africa, and we've actually been competing against UL in the past. So now we're running the Mediterranean and Black Sea service, and recently we started this service down to East Africa as well. Which is pretty interesting.
So that means, if just to let me understand it correctly, also for our viewers around the world here. So you have you have a liner service from Northwest Europe and Houston into West Africa. Yes. You have a newly opened liner service from Northwest Europe and the Med into East Africa, correct?
Well, for now it's from Northwest Europe into East Africa.
Into East Africa, okay. Yeah. And then you have a separate service from the Med, or is that more on chartering basis?
It's we've started out on an opportunity basis. So
all right.
We've been at it for 9 months. We've had 5 sailings, and working on the 6th one. We have the UL Cologne as we speak right now, down in Durres, Albania, Adriatic. So it's been on an opportunity basis. I wouldn't call it a dedicated line of service.
Right.
But the aim is monthly sailings. That's what we've been used to, Morten and myself. And it works. It works out.
Okay. It sounds like you have a pretty good coverage of the African continent. And I believe also, as I've heard from many others recently around the world, that Africa is the last, kind of virgin continent where there's a lot of business to be had. But it is a complex area, West Africa, East Africa, and you cover both. Regularly, the type of tonnage you have in service, could you elaborate a little bit on that? The type of ships geared.
They're all geared vessels, ranking from 4,000 tonners up to 12,000 tonners.
Okay.
So these are the vessels owned by UAL. So the group owns 7 multipurpose vessels, and then. In order to service all trade lanes, we charter in tonnage mainly on say shorter periods or trip charters. So right now on the waters, we have 13 ships.
Okay.
And one of the charter ships is geared up to 800 tons.
Okay.
We are a small ship owner, you could say, but with our only focus is Africa. So we don't tramp around worldwide. So we don't need a fleet of 20 to 30 ships to service that. It's a small dedicated ship owner.
Understand. And that means with the Africa trade, as you mentioned yourself, Nigeria is an important point. And I noticed that you load in Aberdeen. And of course, immediately when you mention Aberdeen and Nigeria, then I think of oil and gas. And you also said, it was the origins. Is the oil and gas industry still relatively strong, or is it a little bit down and renewable is taking over? Can you see any development?
I mean, there's no doubt that renewables is the new black.
Yes.
That's what everyone is talking about. But you could say the whole fundament of, for instance, our East Africa service is oil and gas. I mean,
right?
There's no secret to anyone that they found massive amount of natural gas in Mozambique, and that's the core of our line of service going to Mozambique now.
Okay.
So oil and gas is still an important market, and it's still there. But no doubt that renewables is the new black moving forward.
Is coming, and that means for your particular office located in Denmark, UAL chartering, so to speak. That's do you also sell to the customers your liner services, or do you focus mainly on chartering only?
So being based in Denmark, we also take on the role as UAL's agent in Denmark or in Scandinavia. Of course, it's not divided into only handling a specific trade. Obviously, the whole, as I mentioned, I mean, we are a small group, so everyone helps each other. We sell the service of the liner service and the Black Sea and the East Africa service as well. So, as for UAL chartering, you could say we have several roles. There's the we help out with East Africa, there's the Mediterranean Black Sea,
right?
There's the agency for Denmark, and then we also handle all in-house tonnage for the UL group. So let's say the liner service has overbookings in Houston, then they would call us and say, listen, can you find a ship in Houston going to West Africa?
So you are the troubleshooter for the liner service when they're, let's say, overbooked or have some cargo in that they can't offload on their own tonnage. Then they get help from you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say, let's say I'm a project freight forwarder in Denmark, sitting in Aarhus, and I have a heavy lift project down to Pemba or Mozambique, then I could call you and you could quote a rate on your liner service.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's very interesting. And you also regularly send out sailing schedules and...
We do that on a weekly basis, and of course we try to promote ourselves on social medias as well.
Does your ships also accept containers? You don't have containers in your fleet, I suppose, but you take ships own containers.
We have liner own containers from our service to West Africa. Again, I mean, this is a liner service that's been existing for plus 40 years. So, we have all the necessary means to run a liner service.
Understand.
I mean, there's no cargoes too small to be shipped on a liner service, and that includes if you're in the need for containers, then you can.
Then you have it,
Even inland trucking. I mean, we do have a lot of clients who have bits and pieces, being trucked from inland in Europe or US.
You can help with that. Your service out of the US, is that also on a regular basis into West Africa?
Absolutely.
Would you say every fortnight or once a month?
I would say every third week. I mean, things do get pushed up a bit. I mean, we've, you know, also come close to shipments every second week from Houston, but I would say in average every third week out of Houston.
Okay. And the ports of call, if you mentioned the ports of call in West Africa, the main ports in Nigeria, or could you elaborate?
Yeah, no. I mean, I would say we cover, you know, the whole coast of West Africa down to Angola. But yeah, Nigeria and Angola are, you know, pretty big for us. And then, of course, we have UAL owns their own terminal in Equatorial Guinea called the K5 terminal in Malabo.
Okay.
Which is, of course, it's a huge hub for us and our clients. We recently did. We have a lot of major oil and gas companies who rent space on this terminal down in Malabo.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, whenever we can, you know, we try to support on the shipping part as well.
Of course.
We also have competitors who comes into our terminal, and then you know we service them as well.
Okay.
From the terminal.
That's sounds like a pretty good deal.
It seems like it. It's not really something I'm involved in, but it's a good selling point. I mean, and you know, we have clients who, you know, say for instance on our new established service out of the Mediterranean and Black Sea or even East Africa, you know, we can offer these services of saying, you know, even though it's bits and pieces, we can bring them in to the terminal and transship them from there onto to another ship, which is already inducing, you know, whatever port that the client is requesting, right? So it gives us, you know, a huge upper hand.
No, it gives you a lot of flexibility, and you Absolutely. Don't have to say outright, no, we can't do it. It's that you can do it. So
and that's the mantra. I mean, for Africa and UL, you know, it's the can-do attitude. I mean, there isn't the challenge that UL throughout the past 40, 50 years hasn't been through.
I do hear only good words about you around in the market, and you seem to have also the size that makes you still agile. I mean, you can still move. You're not so big that you are unapproachable, so to speak.
No. I mean, not at all. You say, you know, we are the size that we need to be. Of course, so you could say that the group in itself is expanding, but it's expanding in a way that makes sense. So, you know, adding on, for instance, Morten and myself was, you know, something that UL could see the need for. Also servicing, because, I mean, you say a lot of the clients, especially in the oil and gas industry, is the same moving from Europe or from the Mediterranean. So they could see, you know, the need to expand on that service and looking past the you know, looking, you know, on for the last 9 months, it's you know, it made sense.
I understand that the office in Copenhagen is relatively new.
It is.
What date did you start, actually?
We started in May.
May?
Last year.
Okay. Less than a year.
Close to a year now, yeah. 9 months.
Yeah, okay. That's
pretty new.
Yeah, and you got off to a good start. Has the COVID crisis and all this, has that affected your liftings and your situation?
No doubt that, you know, we were off to a rough start. Starting a new service, selling a new service from Mediterranean and Black Sea, and you know, and from day one, you could say we had to focus on developing East Africa. It's been a tough start, but I mean, we've not been as fragile as, for instance, you know, the airplane industry and a lot of it's been challenging in the terms of planning and how to you know, to schedule your voyages in terms of having, you know, the crew being in quarantine 14 days before entering certain ports and so on. That's been challenging. Things have still been you know, sold and purchased and sellers and buyers. So there's still been a need for shipping, but not in the same way as, you know, before COVID. So
understand. Another, let's say, disease, or not call it disease, but another scourge that you have in Africa now, I speak particularly West Africa nowadays, is piracy. I mean, it has escaped no one that in the Gulf of Guinea, quite a few attacks recently, and it seems that these local governments are unable to do much about it. Is that something that affects your, do you have security guards on board your ships, or how do you have?
I mean, that's a must. I mean, you know, it will be, knock on wood, you know, we haven't suffered from you know, piracy attacks or anything to the likes, but of course we're also following the news and you know, on a daily basis, and say we have our own office down in Nigeria, actually in one of the higher risk areas of Port Harcourt in Nigeria, and it's something that we follow, and yeah, to answer your question, we hire gunboats or guards on board the ships going in and out of that area, which is sadly a must.
Necessary. Yeah. Now my dad's a sea captain, retired, and I remember in his young days he used to sail down to West Africa for Tom. And there were also a period some many years ago when piracy, and now it's kind of has come up again. They don't speak much about the Horn of Africa at the moment. That's kind of died down, so to speak. But now it's
that's true. And it's been, I mean, piracy in itself has been existing, you know, always. I think the how they attack and how often they attack is just escalating, and of course these news spread really, really fast. So it's if something happens, you know, the second, then 15 minutes later, everyone knows, which is a good thing. But that also makes a lot of people nervous, obviously.
That's true. There's sometimes, let's say, bad news sell better than good news, you know. Nobody wants to hear that you had a great day, but if you tell people you had a bad day, then they want to hear all about it, isn't it? So it's I know what you mean. It's a problem, but we should also not exaggerate it, of course. But good to hear that you're dealing with it and you take precautions, because certainly it's on people's mind. So for Universal Africa Line, headquartered in Rotterdam. It's a Dutch owned. I mean, the owner is from Holland.
Yes, he is.
Do you have any further plans to expand here in Scandinavia, or how do you do in countries where you don't have your own office? Let's say Finland, Norway, Sweden. If we talk about the Nordics, would you then have the local agents to sell your services here, or do you?
For now, it's not been necessary. I mean, you know, I think the all the commercial guys within the group already, and including more than myself, we have a broad network of clients in Scandinavia and in other countries in Europe and for Americas as well. So, we do have agencies around, but for Scandinavia, that's mainly UL Chartering here in Denmark handling that part. And obviously, before Morten and myself joined, you know, the group of UAL has a broad network of clients as well, which they continue serving. So,
of course,
for some countries, yes, agents, and but for Scandinavia, it's us here in Denmark.
Okay, got it. Then one of the final questions I'd like to have: let's assume that there are two freight forwarders coming to you with the same inquiry. How is your policy towards freight forwarders? Because many freight forwarders, they follow this this online video thing that I'm having. Do you treat everybody the same? You would give the same rate to anyone for the same inquiry?
Absolutely. So that's, you know, I think for forwarders, I mean, they got to be smart. So you know, even though it's for the same project, or you know, for the same destination, we as ship owners or carriers, we often see that, you know, they do have different inquiries.
Yeah.
So you know, it might be a neighbor port or a neighbor country, or you know, it there might be a change to the terms, and so. But if two forwarders come with the exact identical inquiry, we would give them both you know, afford us the chance to book on our ship. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let the best man win, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's it. Goes the same way when you know they spread their inquiries around to us carriers, right?
Yeah.
They also give us the chance to bid on it. The same terms.
Yeah, exactly. The reason why I'm asking is, of course, that you know, things are evolving a little bit. Some container carriers now want to be forwarders. Even some big German forwarders have their own ships now. So it's kind of blurred. It's not the traditional way anymore. No. Some ship owners even say to the customer, "Yeah, I can do your inland for you." So which was traditionally the forwarders area, you know.
Yeah.
But that means you are open to anyone, and you don't play any favorites, so to speak.
No, we don't. I mean, we see ourselves as, you know, so strong within Africa that we quite often, and that could be, you know, even competitors. I mean, we do have a friendly, you know, quite good relationship with all our competitors, but we do have even competitors and forwarders and whoever else who comes with us, because we have such a strong knowledge about our trade. So we see ourselves bringing a lot of value when it comes to shipments to Africa. And we would, you know, gladly, you know, share that knowledge with whoever wants it. So giving out same quotes for sure, but if we can add any value to it, we'll do it.
Okay, now that's a very clear answer. No, I must say you're covering a very special market, and also, as I understand it, with the recent development of Africa, they are now trying to make it into, is it one gigantic EU? Hopefully with less bureaucracy, but at least a kind of gigantic African trade union, and there seems to be a lot of focus on Africa. So You have hopes that your liftings and services might even be expanded. I mean, Africa is developing. It's on a roll, isn't it?
It is, and I would say, yeah. Latest with our new service to East Africa, that's, you know, something that we can see is expanding.
Yeah,
and we are a bit proud of being the first line of service going directly into Mozambique on a straight sailing from Europe without transshipping anywhere. So,
which ports of call do you have in Mozambique?
We do Pemba, and then we go to this area where called Cabo Delgado, where you have this Afungi port.
Okay.
Eventually, once, you know, the MOF is going to be built at that area, that's where all the cargoes eventually is going to come.
Okay, so it's something about a very enormous, gigantic gas find, isn't it? I've noticed several forwarders suddenly seem to be not in their office in Denmark anymore. They are now suddenly in Mozambique for weeks on end. So it's probably not only holiday.
No.
Okay. Probably not, no. Oh, that's good. Okay, Samir, I must say many thanks to you formally. You've answered everything that I could think of clearly and transparently. And I'm quite sure that our viewers here will have a good impression of UAL. And formally, I wish to thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And to all our viewers, listeners, readers around the world, this was yet another great, in my own view, of course, interview, this time with a special guest, Mr. Samir Fergwen, Managing Director of UAL Chartering in Denmark. Stay tuned for more interviews in the future. Thank you.